Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.
All righty, folks. Mr. Curiosity here, Joe Snedeker. And oh, my dog just busted through my door here in my home office. Hi, Jet. Hi, Jet. All right. This week's guest, I'm so curious about, and I'm not just saying this. This is, well, all these podcasts I'm curious about. And don't call it a junkyard. It's Harry's You Pull It. And we got Tracy. And now, do I call you Joseph or Joe? Why does it say Joseph?
No, Joe's fine.
I figured because when I saw that Tracy sent me the note and it said Joseph, I'm like, I don't know if I want to talk to this guy.
Nah, I'm just your average. I'm your average Joe, the non-junk guy. I'm a recycling guy.
Yeah, but Joe, do you know those? Do you know any Joes who like to be called Joseph? Already, I'm turned off when they say that. I'm like, oh, stop it. Just
well, you know, if they say Joseph right away, you're tacking on another 10% on a you know how that goes.
Yes.
Get Mr. Kress another beverage. That's another. You know what I mean.
All right, so I'll call you guys the Kress Duo here. Here we go. All right.
Oh boy.
This is going to be good. And you promised, Joe, no foul language, right?
Oh, you better watch yourself.
What now? Is that George Carlin's rule or
that's WNEP's rule, not mine.
Can you tell me the list? Can you verbally tell me what not to say, Joe?
No, I hope.
Or is it Joseph?
No, it's Joe. It's Joe. Okay. And I'm hoping because it's Earth Week time, it's Earth Day coming up.
Yes.
That we can somehow tie this all into recycling. There's good news here, but I want to tell you how I first was interested in you. Your commercials back 10, 20 years ago.
Right.
Where I'm thinking this has got to be a cool guy, whoever's doing this. You used to have what appeared to me in my memory as a bikini clad woman on a car going, any part, 99, what was it, dollars or cents?
Yeah, it was 99 cents for any part. The kicker to that was the admission fee to get in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So if we.
And it was pretty cheap at the time because it was actually only $20 to get in.
That's funny. But let's go back. That's 20 years ago, right?
99.
Yeah, let's go even.
Was farther, the year 99?
Let's go even farther back to the beginning of this business that you now have called Harry's You Pull It. So how does all this start? What's the deal?
Well, my grandfather started out probably, I would say, the mid-20s, 1925, 6, 7. I don't know the exact date.
Right, right.
They had a towing and a repair service.
Okay.
Towing and repair service. And this is the turn of the century, so there's not a lot of vehicles around.
I was going to say there's not much.
So as they repair, and then they had, like, they did fleet stuff, like with Stroman's Bakery, whatever was back then. I don't know.
Right.
Because it was, I'm fourth generation. So this is first and second generation, and their names are all Josephs and Harrys. So everybody's Joseph and Harry in our family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they started out with that. So they gathered cars, and then all of a sudden they're out of room for cars because now we're that little block that they were using. They bought 200 acres on the western part of Hazleton, which is West Hazleton, Hazel Township now. I believe it might have been Hazel Township then. I really don't know.
Right, right.
I'm a little younger.
A little younger. You're a lot younger than that.
Anyway, so then they started the yard. It was Kress Auto Wreckers.
But back then, so the same lot that you're on now, because I have to admit, I've never been to your place. I've seen the commercials and it just looks so interesting. And it seemed like an interesting guy in business. That you're at the same place as all this started?
That's our main location. Now we have other locations.
Gotcha. So. But the main location is still there.
And that's 200 acres.
Yikes.
Now we're using a majority of 100 acres there. We've just recently put a shredder in probably in the last 5 years. But we've expanded to Allentown, Pennsburg. We started a place for purchasing vehicles in Plains, PA.
So this guy, did you say your great-grandfather or your grandfather?
Well, my great-grandfather, his name was Joseph Harry Kress.
And where did he come from?
I don't even know. I think Germany.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, my mother's Italian and Greek, so it's mostly German and I believe a little English.
I bet he had to be cracking some coal here in northeastern Central.
Well, that's when coal was king. So everything was like, you know, the populations of all these communities back then were like, you know, probably double or triple the amount.
Right.
I mean, just look at Scranton. I think at one time that was the third largest city, I think, wasn't it, in the state?
You got me, brother. You got me.
Oh,
but what troubles me is now my grandfather was a coal miner. And he was just a coal miner. And now your great grandparents and grandparents, how do you bust out and say, I'm going to start this business? Why does this happen? And now you have this big enterprise.
Well, they started in a towing and a repair business. So then they gathered all these cars and they started an auto parts business. Used auto parts.
And this is back in the 30s, 40s, 50s? I mean, there's not many.
They started in when they bought the property, probably, I'd say, in the late 20s.
Yikes.
Late 20s. They started that and they, you know, they had all this property. I mean, they had this little office that's probably, I don't know what the size, like 10 by 20.
Yeah.
They almost used it up to the early 60s, believe it or not.
Right.
So with that being said, these auto parts.
Did they make tons of money? Were they like big shots in the area or walking around?
Because it was known as, hey, you want to get a part, go down to Cressy's.
Oh, I see.
It wasn't Cress, it was Cressy's.
Cressy's.
So, you know, that's what they call it, you know.
Yeah.
So, again, with that being said, I mean, the people came in. And believe it, back in the day, people did pull their own parts off. Now it's just a complete different, you know, it's a complete different structured thing, but it's basically, they did it back then. Everybody knew where their favorite car was. And now we didn't just have the major three companies, you know, forget about foreign cars. You had different other makes and models back then.
Yeah.
I had a Hubmobile, Nash.
Yep.
You know, stuff like that. So people would come and pull their own parts off. I mean, you know, they take their own parts off and then come down and pay for it.
Any part, just 99 cents.
Well, now we're getting further into the.
Wait, I know. Now. You see, I know what the double meaning there is, but anyway, it caught my attention. Let's go to. I imagine you look like you were born in the 60s, like me. Am I correct?
Yes.
All right. So
I was born in the 60s.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
So if you could tell me
when you landed on the moon, I was born and then I started in the business.
I'm judging you by your gorgeous wife, maybe. Okay. So maybe a little bit before. I don't know, whatever. But anyway, right. So when you enter the scene and you're a kid and right. you're 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, I guess what I'm asking, was this a part of your world?
Yes, I was born in 1955. I'm going to reveal that because a lot of women want to.
Okay, I love it. All right.
Of course, my wife, so, you know. Anyway.
She's a lot younger.
She's my age.
Yeah.
Joe, she's my age. You know what I mean?
Okay. I'm glad we're getting this out. I'm glad we're airing it all out.
She looks good for her age, doesn't she?
I'm actually 10 years older than him. I have a really good plastic surgeon.
Maybe
trust
you have.
Me, I know.
Or maybe you have the Zoom filter on. Maybe that's what's smoothing everything out. Right. So no, but I'm guessing what I'm saying is, so you mentioned your great grandfather and then his son does this, and then his son then does this, and that's your father.
Let me start with my great-grandfather.
All right.
He had girls, and he had my grandfather, which was in business with him.
Right.
Now, his name was Harry Alvin Cress.
Okay.
Okay. He has two sons. He has two sons, which is Joseph and Harry, but they were called Buddy and Sonny. They had nicknames.
This
is going to be confusing here.
It is. Look, I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes.
You're not taking notes. You have to tape this. You're not going to be able to take enough notes. Anyway, so, yeah, they're all in the business. My grandfather, I believe, was very instrumental of doing more of the parts business. Now, they had groves that they rented out amongst this property that they have to take care of different events, whether it was PPNL at the time.
Right.
And the Transfiguration Church. And believe it or not, we also had Barnum and Bailey there unloading the trains. And they had a big, big circus there.
All on this property, all on this property where the salvage yard was.
Yes.
You see, this is a family of big shots.
I don't know. What are you talking about, big shots? I told you I was the average Joe, didn't I?
I think you're making that up.
You know what I mean?
I'm coming to see you this summer. I'm coming to Hazleton. So watch.
You have to look at this shredder. This is fantastic.
Well, we'll get to that. But my amazement is this. Very rarely do businesses go from great grandfather to his son, to his son, to his son. Somewhere along the line, something happens, fragmentation. As they say, the first generation starts a business, the second one raises it up to its peak, and then the third runs it into the ground. But yours just keeps going. This is four generations strong. There's something there.
Right. And I have a younger cousin, Harry, which is so instrumental in his business. He runs the day-to-day operation.
You sit back and count the money. Tracy, I'm getting them. My goal, Tracy.
We did get our taxes in on time on the 18th, so you know. I think so.
No, I'm trying to figure out how you get involved in this and like what you're up
to. Here's what happened. I grew up in business. I started driving at the yard at a young age of 7 years old.
Forklifts.
No, just cars.
Okay.
Just cars, because we didn't have all that big shot equipment that, you know, now we do.
Okay.
Anyway, and I had blocks on it, pedals that I could drive, and I sat on some whatever I sat to elevate myself up.
Kids love
and
cars.
I started driving a tow truck in the yard tow truck, which was a piece of crap.
Right.
At 11 years old, and I just grew up in it, and I love it, and I still love it till today. You know, so we, you know, I was more of a mentor from my grandfather. Now, this was Harry Alvin Kress.
Right.
My parents were young when they had me. My mom and dad were 17. So I basically grew up in my grandparents' home, which was right next door to each other. Oh, and it's only 10 blocks away from the yard.
Well, see, this makes the story even more interesting. Were your parents, were your dad, I guess, especially, was he the took it over from his father or no?
Yes, it was my dad and it was his brother. There were 4 years difference. He had a younger brother, Harry, which is his nickname was Sonny.
Too many Harrys here.
Well, I'm just telling you.
I can't follow.
The fifth generation is called, my daughter's named Joey. So, I mean, what do you want me to tell you here? She's working at Planes.
But when you're 9, 10, 11 years old or in high school, middle school, your dad's running this business, I imagine that.
Or my dad and my uncle.
Yeah. Okay. And then did you think to yourself, this is it. I guess I'm doing this. Or like a lot of sons of business fathers, they think, nah, it's not for me. I'm going somewhere else. You never thought
that? No, not at all. Not at all. No. I enjoy it. I mean, it's. Again, as I told you before, my cousin's running the place, so he has the swollen head at the end of the day.
All right.
And I try and help out as much as I can. I'm still instrumental to some point. I don't know.
What he would say. He would say, you don't do anything, I bet.
I would definitely. I'll get him on the phone if you want to. You know, he's going to say, oh, he's doing a podcast. I should be doing this podcast.
Yeah. Well, Tracy.
He's really fantastic at running the operation. And so that's why we expanded into Shredder, which was a big move. You know what I mean? Not only money wise, but it took our business from in a recycling, being it's Earth Week, and I know it's Friday's Earth Day. I guess this is going to be Monday.
Or Monday, so Earth Day would be past tense.
Oh, yeah. But anyway, we take a car now.
Don't say that yet. I want to get to that. I'm sorry. We can't do that yet. We got to have an arc. Well, I want to get to that part. I'm still wondering about the rise of the business, if you don't mind. So in the 70s and 80s, if I were to be taken back in time and look at the establishment then versus now, was it still minimal? It was that one plot, maybe a few hundred cars, that kind of thing. Or was it big along?
They had a very good business back in the 70s and the 80s. You know, we had a lot of late model auto parts. We had dismantlers. I think the time when we computerized our full service yard, and I was traveling around all over the place, to Florida, California, stuff like that. My mother lived in California at the time. My parents had divorced in 71.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, I saw what was going on. Now, it was hard to sell that to my, you know, my grandfather, my dad, my uncle, because, you know, they remember changing my diaper. So they're going like, what does this guy know?
What
you
is
know?
This guy? Yeah, yeah.
What
yeah.
does this guy know? So I'm like, I don't know. I love the place. So anyway,
but you wanted to modernize it a little bit, you're saying.
Well, then we computerized. Unfortunately, my lovely uncle that I worked along for 25 years, he had passed at a young age.
Okay.
Cancer. And my grandfather passed a year later. This is in the late 80s.
Okay.
So then we computerized our full service yard.
So that's when your role and your cousin takes over.
That's when we did the computerization and racking and all that full dismantling and, you know, computerization stuff. And then I was looking at all these cars that we had. So I'm looking at this going like, we don't need to inventory. At that time, you could buy a car for $50 or $75.
Right.
Which is a little different now. Anyway, I said to my dad, I'm not going to inventory this car that we might sell a taillight that everybody else has about 20 of them. So we were just concentrating on the late model vehicles. So I said to my dad, I went down to Florida at the time to look at somebody's racking where I was doing a comparison in the racking of the parts.
Right.
Because you're taking car parts off. Now, if you buy it at a new parts store, it comes in a box. When you take it off the car,
yeah,
I don't put it back in a box. So the racking had to work with the computerization and the barcoding and all this other stuff.
Right.
Again, we're getting back to this. The U-pull part was my second thought. And I called, my dad said, God, well, go ahead, do that. He said, but I don't want anything to do with that. I said, well, fine.
I said, but you're losing me a little bit. So when you say two things, when you're saying racking, you're saying parts on racks on shelves.
Right, right.
But it's hard to connect.
Transmissions, alternate, anything of a car part, doors, fenders, front ends.
But if I were to show up at what is now Harry's You Pull It, say in the 70s, even early 80s, and I had a 79 Dodge Dart and it needed a fender, right. You guys would say, all right, get out in the yard and look for it, you're saying, right? That kind of thing?
We had, at that point, we had dismantlers and we knew what we didn't know what we had because in 91, well, maybe, what year were you talking about?
I was saying into the 70s and early 80s, you'd be like, get out in the yard and go look for your part.
Well, we would have somebody assist you because what we had is we had older cars, and then you have cars that you have later model parts off, later model car parts, and you couldn't let the public in because what would happen was as they were going past this Camaro or whatever Firebird or Mustang,
oh, they're stealing stuff.
They would tear the mirror off a $300 door.
Yeah, so I
give you $10 for the part and ruin a $300 door. So that we couldn't lead the public in at that point. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, because I have memories of going to, don't be offended, a salvage yard or a junkyard and doing that. And I was probably 16 years old, and it was the early 80s, and I was just ripping parts off of cars supervision.
But again, you probably the product that they had in that particular yard was all like older cars.
Yeah, you're talking, right? You were more sophisticated.
The older cars. So again, we couldn't do that. So when we changed things around to getting back to
your cataloging, your labeling,
we lost two very important people in our lives.
All right.
So I told my dad, and I was down at the Kofor Brothers at a U-Pullet yard in Gulf side of the Florida.
Okay.
So I asked Ronnie Kofor, I said, what does this take? I'm looking at this U-Pullet yard, and I have no interest in this at all. So
now, why then? Were they cutting edge or something? Or like they
It was down in Florida, and I'm going like, what is this U-Pullet? What is all this? What happens here?
Yeah.
Now, I'm not there for that mission.
Right.
I'm there for something else. So I just said, how does this work? I said, what makes a U-Pullet work? He said, you need population and you need weather, which we had We don't have that. You're a weather man. This is all related to weather.
See, that's what brings us together.
Right. The wet. So I said to my dad, I said, well, how about if we do this with these older cars? We'll just make it a cash and carry. Boy, he said, I love that. Set it up. Anyway, so I just spent 2 years of my life doing all this other stuff. I mean, besides doing my job. So we did the cash and carry, as I told him. So we sat down. I said, we're going to have to name this. So I said, we named it. We sat in his bar in his basement. We came up with a price sheet. We priced everything out. And we said, well, what are we going to name this? I said, well, you know, the guys down south, the guys in the south, you know, on the East Coast.
Right.
They're called U-Pullets. On the West Coast, they're called Pick-A-Port.
Oh.
Pick your port.
Yeah.
I don't know why. It's the same thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I said, why don't we just name it after my grandfather, his dad, and my Uncle Sonny, which was also, his name was Harry. So we named it after my grandfather and my Uncle Sonny Harry.
And you took the name from Florida.
That's where, in July 27th of 91, we opened Harry's U-Pullet. No idea. You know, it took me about 5 months to organize it somewhat. And I had no idea what was going to go on. And when we opened up, we did a lot of advertising, and a lot of it came from, believe it or not, being we have the 1881 junction.
Yeah.
We get so many people from the five boroughs of New York and Northern Jersey.
I never thought of that.
To this day, because you could drive down 80, make a left on 81 and get off at the whatever exit, the 924 or whatever. I don't know. And that's how. So anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself.
No, I love this story.
When we opened up the place, I'm looking at these people. Now, it was $1 to get in.
Yeah.
And you had to sign a waiver, of course, you know, in case you get hurt. And you still have to sign a waiver. Now it's $2. Anyway, I'm looking at these people. They're lined up from here to like.
Get out.
They're like, I don't know. There's people. There's 100 people trying to get in.
So immediate success.
The thing I was completely taken off guard with was like, how did I miss this?
Yeah.
How did I really miss this?
You mean the opportunity? Why isn't anyone else doing it? Anyone else doing that at the time besides Florida?
No, no.
Get out of here. Really?
No. Not this way. No.
That's excellent. So.
So anyway, getting back, I never told them about the weather and population, but I knew we had the land. We had the inventory in Hazleton at the time. I don't know how many, maybe 40,000 people. So I'm thinking to myself, oh my God, this is not
going to happen.
I figured let him do it. You know what I mean? And then I saw that. I'm like, holy shit. The holy Smalley. Is that
crazy way to stop him? So do you mean to tell me?
I'm not going
to
use bodacious, so you know.
There you go, Rob Ray. But when you say you needed weather and population, you mean the fact that 6 months of the year here, the weather is sucks, to say plainly, that it wouldn't work because no one's going to come to a salvage yard in cold weather.
That's what the guy in Florida told me.
Oh, I see.
I never told my dad that.
Oh.
I'm not going to tell him that.
And did people come during the off season, like in December and January?
It was packed, packed, packed. I mean, we had a snowstorm, I think in 94. Well, I don't know. You check your.
The blizzard of 93 was March.
Yes. We were closed for 2 weeks. We had 300 calls a day when we were going to open up.
They would still be wanting to come under 2 feet.
Yes. So we hired all these bulldozers to come down and plow because it's so big. And in the meantime, I think we have a massive flood because I think it rained or.
Yeah, well, that was 96.
No, it was in the 90s. It was like 93 or 4. I don't know. Check your file.
Right.
I
but
don't
so, know. But you're saying nothing.
Were you a meteorologist back then? Were you?
I started in the early 90s. Yeah.
Okay.
I started at WDP in 93.
Remember that storm of whatever year that was?
Well, the blizzard was 92, and we did have flooding. 2 or 3 years after that, I thought it was mid 90s, 96, but
maybe I don't know. Whatever.
But so what was that price structure again? Help me understand this. You pay back then what to get in. Why was this so appealing?
It was still $1 to get in. We're open 7 days a week. We're only closed to major holidays, 7 holidays.
So then you paid $1 to get in all these people. And then what could they do with once they're in there?
Well, you had a price sheet and then the cars were organized at that time. I can't recall. They're organized like a row of Cadillacs, a row of Buicks.
Oh, I see. Okay.
A row of trucks, a row of Fords. Right. So now it's just divided into five different things. So it's divided into five sections. We have trucks. We have, foreign cars.
This is then?
No.
No, but then what was such the appeal for these people is what I'm saying.
Because
then.
It was, you could buy a motor for $100.
Okay, so that's what I'm missing. So you're saying you paid $1 to get in there, or no?
Yes.
Back
yes.
then, with all these lines. Yes. And then take, what if I... If I pulled a wheel off of a car and came to the counter and another guy has a carburetor and another guy has a mirror. I mean, I don't understand that you price structure it when you're buying, when you check out.
It's just like when you go in a restaurant, you had a price sheet.
Oh, okay. So they saw this price sheet.
There was 450 items on there. It took us a while.
Oh, I got you.
Price them all out. But you had it. So when you came down, this is the price for that. If it was a steel wheel, it might have been $5. If it was a aluminum wheel, it's probably $10. Then.
And they were coming in ripping these parts off with your assistants.
They were lined up. They were smiling or handling money in, coming in the door and smiling going on. I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, I can't believe this.
But they were pulling their own parts at that time, correct?
Yes.
That is nuts. So they're standing in line with tool belts.
They still are till today.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then this thing grows. And then before you know it, you're on WNEP advertising any part, $99.
That was the year 99. So, yeah.
I know. I remember. I still have that woman in my mind forever.
We had pull-a-thons. All you can carry at Harry's. I mean, we've had
pull-a-thons.
I had all of Howard Stern's boys on.
So what was that like?
Oh, my God, that was crazy.
And how did that's what I mean. How did that happen?
Because I call them up and you hire them. It's a price, but you pay it and they come. I mean, I don't know. It's like anything else.
Who'd you have there?
We had Fred the Elephant Boy and I don't know, somebody. I don't know what their names were. I can't remember. Fred the Elephant Man. I don't know. There was Crackhead Bob.
Crackhead Bob. That's
you know these people.
I do. They're a part of my past too. I wanted you to say them though.
It's probably in your neighborhood.
but that's an advertising genius move to say we're going to get these guys from a guy's talk show who was bursting out across the nation.
Yes,
and they came there. Did Stern show up?
You get what you pay for.
Yeah.
You get what you pay for. That's simple as that.
Did Howard Stern show up or no? He just sent his people.
I can only imagine. These guys cost $2,500 an hour.
Is that right?
That was probably 96, 97. I don't know.
But that's a risk right there.
What's that?
That's a risk to say, let's spend $5, $6, $7, $10 grand on commercials.
My dad was very flexible. He saw what was happening at that point. I mean, his baby was rolling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he saw it.
Oh,
I wonder if Baba Booey showed up. Did Baba Booey show up?
I don't want to say on fire because we did have like a few fires. I don't want to bring that up.
If I saw your lot back then, did it look like, and I know you hate the term, like just a junkyard, or is it very well organized?
Well, we have the cars. We have them sectioned off. They're rolled up with a string. They're sectioned in between each other. You know, I mean, just like being in a supermarket. It's like a supermarket of cars.
Did you get static from anyone in the community? Like, okay, too many.
You know, everybody loves us.
Oh, do they? That's excellent.
No, he's been sarcastic.
Oh, was he? I thought he was. Well, hey, businesses are good for the community. I thought.
Well, no, there's a lot. There is. Because you're helping people out to afford car parts.
Yes.
You get that part? You don't. I mean, I don't want to say anything against some of my friends that have parts places and new car agencies and new parts, you know. But it's a salvager. You're buying a used part and
you're getting a heck of a deal.
Let's say yes. It's yes.
I mean, I eventually want to get to your shredder. I want to get to eBay. I want to get to your competition. That's all down the road here, but I'm trying to roll through time.
So well, now it's competition now into this or
I just want to ask you about them. All right. Okay. So now we're into the 90s, 2000, 2005. Things are still good growing because it seems like the whole you pull it thing started to end. In the millennium past 2000, correct?
No, they're still coming in and buying parts. I don't even know what to tell you. During this last COVID thing, I mean, you know, with the chain supply being.
Oh, yeah, that makes it even more desirable.
You can't buy parts. I mean, so they're buying parts at our place.
So through your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, you're the businessman there. You're your cousin, the family. You're running this place. You're making a living. You're raising kids. You're marrying Tracy. All this is happening, correct?
How do you know we're married?
Look, those are our kids.
It says on the paper here, her last name.
I'm a cheat sheet idol. So no, in Allentown we opened up in 98.
Oh, okay.
Pittsburgh,
so that's a big
one. We opened
move.
Up in 01. And Plains, we just opened in the last the beginning February. Of the beginning of this year. Wow, yeah, man. We're only purchasing there right now. It's not a U Pullet yard, which we will turn into U Pullet yard as we move along.
So I noticed behind you, you have either you're a weird guy with someone else's kids or they're your kids in the background. So are they into the business now too? Are they involved? Is this going to continue?
The larger girl in the picture.
Okay.
And guess what her name is?
It's Joey.
Correct. So you're paying attention. That's what I like about you. He's paying attention. I told you. Yeah, pretty smart.
So, but to go 5-6 generations, I mean, let's face it, you and I are probably going to be dead in 20, 30, 40 years. So who's going to take over?
That's a good question. I my cousin Harry, he's
going to die too someday.
Maybe Cameron. You never know.
I don't know. I guess it'll be the fifth generation if they decide that they. I never pushed any of my kids to do what I said. Listen, please.
But are they interested in it?
I think our youngest boy is.
Yeah, I was going to say it's tougher for a girl. No offense, Tracy. Right? It's not car parts. Yeah. Not that appealing.
No, there's a lot of women in our industry.
We have a lot of female customers.
Oh, we have a ton of female customers. I mean, it's just anyway, I really don't. I never pushed them towards the, in other words, this is what dad does, come into business.
Yeah, you can't do that. That backfires. You can't do that.
I have no idea. I just told them, I said, whatever you do in life, make sure that you enjoy what you do.
Boom, boom, boom.
And then the money comes to you. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. I don't know.
It worked for me. It's working for you, right?
I don't know.
Enjoy what you're doing, the money comes in.
You want to see the kids again? I don't know. There's five of them back there, so you know.
Oh, they look beautiful, beautiful children.
Yeah.
Could you show me
if you can see the picture better, I can tell you that's an interesting story all of its own.
That was about how many years ago? About 7-8 years. They were much younger then.
So the photographer could not get their photo.
Nobody would smile at the same time.
So I went up to the photographer and I said, listen. Get this shot. So I got behind the photographer and I pulled my.
He mooned them.
I did the butt crack guy, and they're all like, if you could see this picture. I did the butt crack guy, and guess what? That's that picture right there.
See, Joe, this is why I love you. This is why I knew this was going to be good. See, you're that kind of guy. There's no uptight or pretentiousness about you. I love it.
You get what you get. I don't know if that's a bargain or not.
All right. So let's do this now. Let's say the average person, including me, knows very little about where their car goes when it dies.
So let's say
I have a car. I happen to have a 2015 Acura and it has 120,000 miles on it.
Right.
I'm trying to trade it in. Someone else will put another 100,000 on that car.
Right.
It'll be theirs until they wear it down to nothing and starting to rust. Then what happens to all vehicles at the end of the end? You can no longer give it to a college kid or anything. It's done.
We're involved with all our associations. One is Parts, which is the Pennsylvania auto recycling. We're a certified auto recycler.
Okay.
So when the vehicle comes to us, it should come to us, first of all, because we do the right thing with the vehicle. We do a depollution system. We have a depollution system where it takes all the fluids out. You know, we take the used motor oil at antifreeze, washer fluid, gasoline. It's all taken out, and we use all those products to heat our buildings for the oil.
Oh, interesting.
We use brand new jugs where we put the used antifreeze and the used washer fluid. The batteries, if they're We'll do a test on see if we can put life into them. Maybe they're new, maybe they're old. We'll sell a used battery, test it, or if it's junk, it gets scrapped to a proper end user.
It's almost like
gasoline goes in either in our trucks or goes to our employees. That's filtered. Everything's filtered.
I did a podcast a few weeks ago with a mortician. It's almost like you're the auto mortician. They're sucking bodily fluids out of a human. You're sucking the bodily fluids out of these cars, recycling what you can at the beginning. But how does it, what percentage of your cars are, say, cars from 20 years ago that are unusable or cars that were in a wreck that are still very usable?
The cars that we usually get in are between 8 and 12 years old.
Oh.
And our cars are probably driven and they maybe are on our last lap and, you know, you get that. Either people bring them in, we buy a lot of towing businesses. We buy a lot of off insurance companies through their services. That's where we get it. People drive cars in, they junk their cars, you know.
So if my car were in an accident today, if my car was in an accident today and totaled by the insurance company.
Right.
Then how do you get contacted?
Well, they have a service. Oh, okay. They'll take it to two locations. And I don't know. You want me to mention their names?
No, whatever. I mean, just so.
And then you bid online on these vehicles. And if you're awarded the bid.
Oh, your people do.
Yeah, we have people buying cars all the time.
So they go to this kind of storing facility of all these cars. And then people like you come in and bid and say, I'll take that one for 500. I'll take that one for $2,000.
Right. Exactly. Oh,
interesting.
Right.
So it doesn't.
We haul them in, then we do the, you know, we barcode the vehicles. One of our services we have now, we barcode the vehicle that we know that we have, let's say that 2015, whatever you're driving, that we have the vehicle and it's in row such and such in a foreign section. So you could go to, I can't tell you what's on the vehicle because if somebody comes 5 minutes before that and takes the mirror or door or wheel or motor or whatever.
Right.
I can't tell you that I have it. I could tell you that I do have that. I do have the vehicle. And we could also tell you the interchange. So maybe your car is between 12 and 17, that the transmission might be the same. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or the windshield or the whatever part that would be on that particular car.
Well, that's interesting.
So they don't really have to come to my place. If I don't have it, then I don't have it. You know what I mean? Or we'll look at our other three locations or other two locations besides the Hazleton or Hazel Township location. So, you know, it just helps them.
What if someone comes in like with a 1978 Ford Fairmont that granny had? No one's really buying parts for that anymore. Do you just sheet metal?
But see, eventually they become popular. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, they really, because in other words, if you were a lot of people, if you want to talk about some of my, I'm going to call them pirate type of competitors.
Okay.
You know, they'll take the flu. I don't know if they take the flu. I don't know what they do with the cars, but they'll end up in going to a shredder. I don't know if they're depolluted or not. I have no idea, but the car's completely taken out of the system. See, our cars are there. I use them as a parts. I call them a parts donor. So they're there for a certain amount of time. There's dates on them when they're recycled. The fluids are taken out. There's dates on how long they're in the yard. And then they go to the shredder and they get shredded apart for the metals.
But how do you decide whether a car should be kept kind of intact or if you strip everything out, like the radio, the right fender, the bumper, the mirror? How do you say, let's put all the parts out of this or let's keep it intact and sell it as bigger parts? You know what I mean?
We set the vehicle, they're on wheel stands, so they're elevated. So you can't, one of the insurance regulations, there's insurance regulations there. Like you can't bring this and you can't go in with open shoes. You can't go in with torches. You can't go in with, you know, certain power tools. You can't, you know. So it's all when you go to the yard, you take everything off. I don't do anything other than the car's there. It's like the car's there. You can take what you want to take off the car, and the car's there for a certain period of time. So when we look at it, you look at how many people came in the door. You look at how long the car was there, and let's say nobody took a part off it. That thing goes right out to the shredder and gets shredded. I don't know. You had thousands of people come in. The cars there for most of our cars are there, being that our Hazleton location has, you know, thousands of cars because of the size.
Right.
We're in Allentown, we have 15 acres. In Pennsburg, we have 20. They're only there maybe for 30 to 45 days, but they have a lot of people, a lot of population in there. So they come in and a car just, if you don't take any parts off it, it's gone. It's
gone. But I thought your people strip the parts and catalog them.
No, we closed Crest when my cousin came on board. He ran that for a while. Then I said to him, there was only two of us. There's still only two of us. So I said, Harry, you need to come up here with us, with me, and run this place, because it's like, you know,
we
have numerous amount of, you know, managers, general manager, great, great employees. But, you know, I'm not going to.
Well, so is your place different than that well-known salvage yard that starts with a D in my area here in the Scranton area?
Yes,
do they catalog all their
parts? I know the gentleman quite well.
Do they catalog all their parts, or they don't have a you pull
they
it
do
section?
Because they have there's two different things here. I call the you pull it yard a self-service yard. Self-service, meaning
yes.
You take it off.
I'm coming there with my tools.
Now, the gentleman you mentioned, he has both.
Oh, he has both.
So he does have something. You can call him up and say, do you have a part for that? And he does have a warehouse that we had prior. That he could tell you, yes, I have, and this is how much, and come back and have the
interesting
vehicle. Yeah.
But
there's either one or the other anymore. You know,
but you
saying?
Are a big shot like him.
No.
Look at Tracy. I'm just mad.
No. No.
Oh, that's funny.
No.
So
no, I'm not. No, I'm not.
He's not even going to say anything. All right.
No, and to be honest with you, he's quite a gentleman. When he opened the place, he did call me, and we shared some information.
Yeah,
and it was nice. It was a very nice conversation, and they do what they do, and we do what we do.
Yeah, two totally different sections. And are you
absolutely?
Two-
I mean, you know, I don't know what they do up there. I'm not. You know, I know what. Yes, I.
Take a drink. All right, we're almost done because I can tell you had enough of me.
No, it's not that. I mean, I don't want to.
No, I'm not asking for negativity or positivity. I'm just wondering.
No, it's not negativity. It's just I'm trying to tell you. It's like there are full service. There's places you could call and they could tell you what they have and they either deliver to you. We did that when we had the Crest yard, the Crest.
Or you
auto
stand
yard.
At the counter and then the guy goes and gets it and
correct,
brings
yes.
it to the counter.
Bring the part to you, or they deliver it to your home anymore, or your garage, or your repair shop, or wherever, you know.
All right. Are guys like me now cutting into your lifestyle in the last 10, 20 years? Here's what happened to my car. I'm driving it. And I hit a 2x4 that was on the road. And it must have come up underneath the right fender wheel well, and it ripped off that plastic lining, but I didn't even know. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks later, I'm driving the car. My wife's like, there's a funny noise in the front of the car. And that plastic liner in the front fender was going. Bum, 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 bum. Yeah. So I look at it and I said, oh gosh, I don't know anything about cars. I saw the plastic fender was ripped in half. So I go on eBay, don't hate me. And I type in 2015 Acura fender liner. $35. Next thing you know, it's at my house. I don't know where it came from. Nice and simple. And that cuts you guys out of the equation. How do you feel about that? I got a used liner from my wheel well from eBay. Is that hurting you?
Here's the other part of our customer base.
Okay.
So we have many, many people coming in every day, regular customers, and that's what they do. They eBay parts.
Right.
So they'll know what's popular. They'll take it off. They'll pay me X amount of dollars and then eBay it for a lot of other money.
Oh, so they're you. So, whoa.
It's not me. It's not me. It's them.
Well, did you ever think of bypassing that?
That part could have came from the yard, but you're not going to know that. And I don't know that either.
Interesting.
I don't know that.
Well, Tracy, why don't you make him start a whole online branch of the business and then he can sell that way?
We tried that, and it's like
there's so many different things you can and can't do. So you try and keep it as simple as possible, because you could start doing this, doing that. then you eliminate those people from coming as your customer.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're doing it. So now you're giving them, let's say, you know, when you give your dog a bone and there's no meat on it.
Yeah.
They're not, he's not going to like you too much, is he? What's your dog's name? Jet?
Jet. You know, Tracy, he knows an awful lot about me, Tracy. I think.
I know. He watches you every morning.
No, wait a minute. Not every morning. Yeah. God, I'll give him, his head's going to get swollen.
Oh, really? His head's going to get swollen after this.
I forgot where we were now. No. Well, this is great, though. I feel like I have a new friend in Hazleton and a big shot, too.
I mean, come up. You can come up anytime. We'll show you what's going on. And I'm sure we'll do another. We'll do another podcast. I'll get thrown off. I didn't use any foul language.
No, this has been very informative.
No foul language. If you take notes, if you talk to my friends, you're going to be very proud of me.
So to summarize, though, a car that's brought to your place that was in an accident or just old age, what percentage of it is recycled? I guess you can't do much with the foam insulation or maybe the vinyl. I mean,
I'll tell you the efficiency of the shredder. There's three items that come out of the shredder. There's Zorba, which is your better metal, like the aluminum. That's one of the reasons why we did this. The aluminum, there's so much aluminum in a car anymore, like your wheels, your alternators, your brackets, everything underneath the hood, suspension parts are aluminum. There's a lot of aluminum. We weren't getting paid by the people that we were dealing with. We weren't getting paid for that. We were getting paid for light iron. So now we have it's called Zorba. Then we have the frag, which is the metal. Then I call it fluff, but it has a different name anymore.
You're right, though. I've heard about the fluff.
I'd have to get Harry. Harry would have to do a whole segment about the shredder, which you're not going to get him on anyway. So anyway, one thing that's about that, it's so fine that they don't have to use it. They could use it as a topper on a landfill instead of using it inside. Because it's really, I'm talking seats, glass.
Oh, they recycle and do it all together, the fluff.
Yeah, it's like they call, I call it fluff and the terminology is all different anymore, you know, in regards to that.
Oh, that's interesting. I think they use that fluff stuff that's inside of car seats. I bought a MyPillow from that MyPillow guy, and I ripped it open and there was all shredded foam, like looked like from a car seat inside there.
Well, that's because you probably bought a cheap pillow. That's what.
No, it was my pillow. The MyPillow.
You probably gave that to Jet. You probably gave that to your wife for like a Christmas present. Here, honey, you're on some glass and metal and, you know.
No, that's not true.
She woke up and she has like marks on her face.
No, my wife loves me.
Yeah, I'm sure. Who else is going to love you? Just your producer. How long are you on this station, by the way?
I started there in 92.3.
We have something in common.
Next year is my 30th anniversary. That was part time.
We have, we're 31st.
30th last year.
30, but 31st, come on, July 27th.
Yep. How about the wedding anniversary? I bet you I got you beat. My 30th is coming up this summer.
You definitely have a spear.
Okay. There, I got you, brother.
Well, here's the deal. I mean, I believe in recycling, so you know what I mean? It's like,
Tracy, don't.
Don't put that on it. I don't want that on the air.
Edit that out.
Yeah.
How about if I bring my wife down to your place? Could I get a new one and bring her?
I don't know. We did have that service at one time, but that's another show.
All right, Harry's You Pull It. Where could we, anyone listening to this, here's your chance to sell what you want. Give me your web address or Facebook, anything you got. How do we find you?
We're on wegotused.com, all three locations. We have a new location in Plains where we're there for purchasing cars only. And that's on, what street is that on?
Second Street.
We just opened it. Second Avenue in Plains.
It's Rear 131 Second Avenue.
Okay. Or just search Harry's You Pull It and you'll find all
it's
your...
It's called Harry's We Buy It.
Yes, that location is Harry's We Buy It because we only buy cars at that location.
Gotcha. But to find out some information, I just searched Harry's You Pull It in Hazleton and everything came up. So yes. I saw everything. So
yep.
You can find you guys everywhere. To come full circle, the woman who did that commercial, any part, 99 cents in a bikini. Oh. Where is she now?
Well, she has a couple kids.
Okay.
I think she lives in, I don't know where she lives.
I believe she's like, no, Ashland.
Ashland, yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Angel's around. She's around. Yeah.
Angel, you made her famous. They were great.
Well, it was my dad's girlfriend at the time.
Okay, I can see. I shouldn't have brought that up.
Yeah, very. She's very nice. In fact, her mother works for us also.
Joe, I'm sorry for bringing that up, but you know I'm a guy, and that was on my mind. Okay,
that's the only thing that's on your mind. It's not just the weather and all this. what's that Wednesday show he has on? What was it?
Wham Cam.
Booby traps on today.
Wham Cam.
Booby traps. Really?
Booby traps. Yeah, the origin of the phrase booby trap.
Oh my God. I'm thinking to myself, could I run with this one?
All right.
Thinking about Jonathan Winters, George Carlin, Robin Williams. What would they say what a booby trap would be?
First of all, it's a booby trap, not a booby trap.
Yeah, and it's the bird, okay?
I understand. I saw the end of the show.
All right.
At that point, I'm not paying attention because I don't even know what the weather is. After I'm done with you, I don't even know. What's the weather? It's not even all. I said, well, you're not here since 5 o'clock in the morning. I had trouble.
Listen, this is called Mr. Curiosity, not pick on Joe Snedeker, okay?
No, is that really serious, Joe? This is a give and take situation. You didn't answer my sheep question either, did you?
Oh, so in the biography, it says I don't like to do things other people do. So I didn't follow the sheep. That's all that means. I'm not a sheep follower. I do my own thing.
Okay.
That's what that's all about. You do too. I could tell. That's why you're the man you are.
You think so?
Yeah, I know it.
I appreciate that, Joe.
Yeah. So thanks for the time. I wish you guys continued success.
Thank you for having us on. And I want to thank all our employees. I want to thank, my family, my cousin Harry, especially my wife, my lovely kids. And I'll tell you what, I really love our customers. They are really great people.
That's good to hear. You mean that too. I can tell.
So, it's true. They make the whole thing. They really make this whole deal. They don't even know there's a Harry that exists. So, by the way, my name's Joseph Harry Chris too. So, but anyway, they don't even know. They love to come to plays.
Well, you're a good man. You're good for the community. And
great customers. And what you need to do is junk your car today.
My 2015 Acura?
Not your 15 car.
Okay.
People should go out there and yell, junk your vehicle at Harry's. You pull it today because of Earth Week. And by the way, Earth Week is every day's Earth Day to us. So,
and Harry's, I love it. Yeah, because you're recycling.
Nothing goes in the landfill. You have to get rid of the vehicle.
Yes.
You have a junk car in your lot. It's the highest prices ever paid right now. So please get rid of your cars.
Perfect sell. I love
it. Make sure you have the title. We need the title too.
Got it. The title. Why don't you end this by making me laugh the same way you had the kids laugh? No, don't do it. Don't do it.
I'll do it. Are you kidding me?
Tracy,
it's a little bit larger now. So yeah. You know what I mean?
Tracy, I'm afraid he would have done that.
He would have done it. I'm telling you right now.
You got to be kidding me. I'm very proud.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, thanks, you guys.
Okay. Thank you.
Curiosity. What are you so curious about? Everything. Mr. Curiosity.